You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building. My man Jay Moore, how are you, sir?
Doing well. You know, getting used to the fact that ball has actually showed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think
it's here.
I don't know if but this is Indiana. We might have a couple sneaky 80-degree days creeping back on us. But
this is true.
I like this weather. This is this is when I can really start dressing.
Look out now! Look out now! Oh man, longevity. How are you, buddy?
Doing all right, man. Thanks for asking.
Oh, buddy, oh pal.
Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Good to see you as always. Yeah. Just saw you, but good to see you. Man, DJ J Diff, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. You know, I agree with Jay Moore on the weather, though.
It's,
I have on my bibs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My nice sweatshirt.
Crucial Conflict. I'm talking about.
I'm not running that. It's different.
This is different. That's what it took me back to.
This is more fashionable than that.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah, of course. I'm just, you know.
I bring out the hooded sweatshirts and.
Turtlenecks.
Yeah.
Turtlenecks.
Get real comfortable and fly
polo
with
boots.
It. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tim's.
This is Tim's. Tim's weather is right. If it's not around here, it's right around the corner.
It is here, sir.
Yeah, it's already here.
Yeah.
I love hoodie season, man. That's one of my favorite times of the year.
You know, put some of that summer stuff up. I know y'all like it. It's time to put it up.
Yeah.
Put it up.
Y'all see anything this week caught your attention?
I mean, I think the only other thing is obviously the thing that you made a topic for some reason. I don't think it should be a topic, but you know, the fact that we went to see Little Brother.
That was dope.
Yeah.
Was dope.
I don't know if that's a.
Had you guys seen Little Brother before this time?
I had not.
Oh, okay. So, that's nice. So you.
Yeah, it's first time seeing him.
Okay. I was lucky. I got to see Little Brother with David Banner and Talib Kweli.
Dang.
In Bloomington at like this is called like the Bluebird.
Yeah, I remember that spot.
Yeah, and so that was the first time I ran into like I said, you know, when I never expect for famous people to remember me when I'm even if I've met them multiple times, but that was the first time I met Fonte, and we wound up having a short little conversation about because that's when he was doing
exchange.
No, this is his podcast.
Oh.
The Gordon Gartrell.
Gordon Gartrell Radio with Brainchild. And this is probably the first podcast that I actually, like, I knew of podcasts, but I thought, okay, I don't have an iPod, so I'm not going to listen to podcasts. Like, I didn't get the technology, and it's crazy. Fast forward all these years later, you know, this is what I do every Tuesday night. But,
right.
Yeah, it was just one of those great shows because that's when I saw, I was like, okay, these guys are beasts on stage. They know how to put on a show. It's not just get up, do the song, go to the next song. Like the breath control, they're able to control the crowd. Every time someone sees them, I guarantee you they make fans based on their performances.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a testament to why, you know, 20 years later, they can have a festival celebrating their career. I'm glad you guys got to see him. You know, I've seen Fonte with Foreign Exchange or
I've seen him for a couple times.
With at one Nicolay. Point he came to
Jazz Kitchen
with Yazara.
Yep.
Was Zoe with them when they did that?
Oh gosh,
I think he was.
I enjoy the intimate shows.
Did you have any particular take on this topic that you wanted to spin it into, or was it just kind of talking about it?
I learned some stuff about a group that I thought I knew a lot of stuff about just by actually being there. And that's basically all I wanted to talk about. Some of the takeaways and stuff that I took away from it, because been a fan of these dudes since they started, but I left like, oh yeah, I learned some more stuff about these guys. You know what I'm saying? But
well, I would say to your point about intimate shows and yours, Jay, too, I think the fact that they did this show, I think it's different doing a show like this in the capacity that it was, but them doing it in their hometown.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was an intimate show, even though it was like packed.
It was packed.
You know, I mean, there was many times where Fonte stopped, you know, and just was talking for like 5 minutes, you know, and then he would jump back into it. So even though we weren't like up there touching him, it was still a very intimate show to me.
Pause.
So, you know. Nothing wrong with intimacy.
I just wanted to up there, Cameron, a shot. No,
up there, just touching him.
Yeah. Touching him, intimate.
Yeah, you know. That's what it, you know.
Enjoy yourself.
Sometimes
man.
You got to enjoy yourself at intimate shows.
Okay. Hey, who are you, Mike?
I didn't say touch yourself. I said touch.
He did not. Yeah. He did not.
But touching was involved. And intimate. So there you have it.
Cause for pause.
Did you have other takeaways that you wanted?
Well, first of all, I owe Joe Scudder an apology. I got to look at the camera, too, because I've been on his head, man. I owe Joe Scudder, I'm sorry, man. I apologize.
What do you apologize for?
Here's why. Because I've always said that he wasn't necessary on Loving It. But seeing him, first of all, come out as a, you know, a, what would you call it, like a special guest kind of surprise type vibe. So they rocked that joint. I believe it was close to last, if not last.
Second to last.
Right. And he comes out and the crowd goes crazy. And I'm like, I looked at Lone and just started laughing because I'm like, Joe Scudder, here he is. Right. And he delivers the hell out of the performance, rocks the verse. And I'm like, man, this verse really ain't as bad as I thought. Seeing it live and seeing him jump into the moment. So I'm sorry, man. I apologize, man.
Yeah. Shout out to all you rap cabbage heads.
It also kind of helped that you were in, like y'all were saying, where they're from.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I got a little bit of that was sprinkled on there too.
Maybe got lost in the sauce.
But he jumped in the moment, though. I got to give him his peas. He jumped in the moment.
You know what's wild, though? How we talk about raps and things that we didn't like back then. Mm-hmm. Our bad raps are better than the good raps now.
This is true.
You know what I'm saying? So it does. Hearing a lot of the newer stuff makes you appreciate some of the stuff that we didn't like back in the day. Just wanted to add that.
I mean, what Jay Moore said about seeing performances and how well they perform. Hearing those records that I've heard for all these years perform live that way. I'm like, man, these records are, when they talk about not having hits and all that, to be able to come out there and control the crowd with those records carry over. That production, the songwriting, all that stuff that we've thought for years was elite and was dope. It really translates to a live performance. I hadn't experienced that yet because I've always listened to these records. I hadn't seen them perform like that. So to hear those beats and that production that Ninth was doing way back then on the listening and in the minstrel show, to see that translate live, those records are fire, man. They've stood the test of time, and it sounded like it did when I initially got introduced to them.
Yeah, and even the stuff after Ninth.
Yes, you know? Yes. You know, it was stuff from Get Back that was performed and all the way up to the Glory and all that.
That just came out.
Yeah, they got a lot of records that translate well in a live performance, bro. And just to see so many different people spitting the lyrics to it. I saw women spitting the lyrics. I saw older fans spitting the lyrics. It was younger people there. I saw the performers, people that had performed earlier spitting Lil Brother's lyrics. To see all that stuff translate, like Tall Black Guy was performed earlier with Zoe, and I looked over and saw him spitting a verse to something that they were performing. So it was just really cool to see those records translate. I think they did a great job. Great vibe. I just enjoyed it, man.
Did they play any of their solo stuff?
PT's Tigolo for Dolo.
Yep.
Got a new album about to come?
No. The song. He teased the beat for it. I was like, uh-oh. And then right when he's about to rap, he cut it and they went to something else.
I looked directly at Lone when that beat dropped because I was like, about to go off.
I think the biggest one for me was when it was like Life of the Party drop.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Da, da,
da, da, da. Like that beat was just, that went off crazy.
Yeah.
No, it was definitely a good time, man. It felt, again, it was intimate. Crit did his thing.
Shout out to Big Crit.
Didn't see the cool kids though, and Tall Black Guy did well. But
all right, man. So it's been some emotional things going on.
Yeah,
very emotional. A lot of emotions in music. A lot of emotions in responses to music. A lot of emotional grown men out here, man.
Hey, it's good to have emotions. What do you mean?
These types?
And intimacy.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with emotions. We all have them. Yeah. Are you advocating to suppress emotions?
No.
No, but...
In the words of H-Town, emotions make you cry sometimes.
Exactly.
They do.
There you go. That's a deep cut from the 90s.
Yes, sir.
Good job,
bring
man.
That back. That song was all right.
It was all right.
You know that one?
No.
I'm going to have to run it at the next one after work for you.
I agree with that. I mean, I agree with the sentiment, but,
That what he said right there, though, that's one of them ones on the low. But, Drake has been very upset, man. I think he's upset because, what you call it, midterm. Yeah, he dropped a lot of midterms on his album.
There's a lot of midterms going on.
For all of the dogs. Yeah. I don't know if that's the correct title for that. But,
I don't know. I only like one song, so...
Out of 23, is that how many was on there?
So I believe it's 23 joints on here.
20 too many.
Dang. Son.
Did you guys...
That was a bar. Low key. 20 too many.
Yeah.
With 23. Hey, okay, sorry. On accident.
I just thought about what he said. Man. That is a bar. Joe Budden, he's very upset with Joe Budden's, what do you want to call it, breakdown, analysis of the album, which
his
I
daddy
thought.
Too.
Oh, is his daddy mad too?
His daddy mad too.
I thought what Joe said, Joe didn't sound like a hater to me. He just assessed it for what it was. But Drake came out and basically called him a failure. And
man, he wrote a whole dissertation.
I'm talking about, y'all, everybody's read that, right? Y'all read?
I don't know. Everybody home, have you read it?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know where you've been if you haven't.
I looked at it, but you know, like, I'm like, look, Drake, if you are so into words,
yeah,
then why do you got so much stuff on this album you should have left in your draft folder? You know what I'm saying? Like,
because people give him a pass every time.
You should have taken some of this effort. Joe was a lot nicer to Drake than I would have been if I would have, if we had the opportunity to sit and listen song by song and critique specific lyrics. Like, we don't have the license to play music on our show like Joe Budden does. I would not have been as kind as Joe was. Joe said several times, I like the record. You know, there's just some things I'm disappointed with. And I think Joe, I mean, they always try to make it personal, but Joe, remember, Joe is a rapper. And yeah, he is a wordsmith. I know some of y'all, all you know is Pump It Up, or you know him as a podcaster. But like, I actually listened to Joe Budden's music.
He was also in a group called Slaughterhouse.
He was in Slaughterhouse.
Slaughterhouse.
Let's not forget.
And his, you know, his solo and the mixtape. Like, I was one of those people, like, I really like Joe Budden without knowing all this other stuff about him. And that's fine. But like, because I like lyrics. You know what I'm saying? I was somebody that didn't, you know, I dug Joe Budden. Still do it. I dig him as a podcast. He's really the only outside podcast, outside of people I know, that I listen to.
Let's dive into some of the stuff that he said.
Yeah, let's get to it.
You talking about Champagne Poppy?
Some of the things that Drake said.
I mean, I have a quote here.
Once again, I wish he'd have taken his much time.
I wouldn't expect him to say Champagne.
I can read what Champagne Poppy said.
Read what Champagne Poppy said, bro.
Said, you have failed at music, Joe Budden.
Oh, man.
You left it behind to do what you're doing in this clip, because this is what actually pays your bills. For any artist watching this, just remember, you are watching a failure give their opinion on his idea of a recipe for success. A quitter give their opinion on how to achieve longevity. Not me. You switched careers because the things that pop into your brain, you had broke. Living check to check. Shout out to the French version of check. And the raps you write had 450 men showing up to your shows in dusty and nice jeans. Is that how you say that?
Nietzsche.
Okay, keep going, whatever. You got it. To screw up their face to Mood Music 29 and pretend you are the GOAT. Please, to any artist that's doing what they feel is right, don't let these opinions affect your mindset after that. Why is Drake caring about a Joe Budden when you are Drake? Anyways,
because he was a Joe Budden fan.
There it is.
That's why.
Or Stan, even at one point in time.
Got openly.
Yeah. Got you. So he continues. This guy is the poster child for frustration and surrendering. You retired and we never hung up your jersey. We don't even remember your number. We know you for doing this. You withdrew from rap not because you accomplished all you need to. It's because it wasn't working for you. I never want anybody in the generations to think that the whole everybody's entitled to their opinion is a real thing. I kind of agree with that, but I'll continue. This is a man projecting his own self-hate and the fact I did and continue to do everything he wanted to do for himself. If you need to put it in simpler terms, I own a 767. He owns a modest house in the 973 and flies first class on special occasions. That is a weird, goofy statement at the end.
Yeah.
But anyways.
That's one of those weird flexes that.
It's like, ooh, you have a plane.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why hip hop and rap is down 40%, because we can't relate to that type of stuff.
Exactly. Anyway. Like, this is what's weird. He didn't realize, okay, you thought you were going at Joe Budden, but you know you're basically going at every basically working
everybody
person in America.
Everybody.
You know, they think he ate when he said all that. They think he really ate. Yeah. And, I mean, it's. It's his opinion. He has every right to be mad at Joe Budden for that. But he could have kept just not said nothing. It would have been perfectly fine, because he's going to do whatever numbers he's going to do regardless. Like, everybody sitting here, we don't really rock with the project, right?
Nah.
But the masses do. The people that
I don't
that,
do you think?
Yeah.
It's going to be another number one.
There's a lot of people that still are rocking with this regardless.
I've heard the opposite.
It's because it's Drake.
But this is the thing.
It depends on what circle you're in.
In a streaming era, like I said, there would have been a time where none of us would have listened to this unless we would have listened to it for the podcast so we could discuss it and hate on it. Not so much.
Not hate.
Yeah, critique it. From a...
Hate on it because it is bad.
Yeah, but when I listen to any album, like I come in here... I want to be able to critique something in good faith. I don't want to just come in here and talk bad about it because I feel like that's what we're supposed to do today. Like,
I've never done that. I just don't listen.
I mean, like I said, but I'm just saying that, like, sometimes rappers, they forget that, okay, you're talking about, you know, Joe Budden. Joe Budden still has a Maybach and he has a driver. His house is probably still very nice and flying first class. Occasionally is still better than the average American.
And considered, it's completely irrelevant to being a good, successful.
And that doesn't have anything to do with why, you know,
that doesn't sound like a failure to me.
That doesn't have anything to do with why you have all these whack lyrics about Esperanza Spalding
and Rihanna.
And you in here dissing women who aren't thinking about you.
Yeah.
Like, some of that stuff is just corny, dog. He's 36 years old.
Man, yeah, look,
you can do better.
It's called For All the Dogs, and he's dissing women on the album.
Yeah, because
that's crazy.
Shout out to,
because if you want to diss Joe Budden, like, just put out the deluxe and diss him on record.
I wouldn't do that.
These emotional Instagram posts, like, this ain't it, dog. Like, this is definitely not for the dogs.
Nah, it's not.
The music wasn't either.
Shout out to the homie Ill Brown, producer from Chicago. He said, if Joe Budden is a failure, then 98% of rappers and MCs are failures. And he uses a hashtag he's always used, no Aubreyism.
Think about failure and somebody as successful as Drake calling somebody a failure is really unfair because, I mean, you're somebody that is at the height of pop music, pop music mountain, pretty
much. 1 percentile.
You're right there with Beyonce and Taylor Swift and all of them. Everybody does not achieve that type of musical success. That's just not how it works. Somebody like Joe Budden that took his musical career and transcended it and moved it over to the podcast lane.
Which everybody's doing.
Which a lot of people are doing, yeah. And got a really good deal off of it.
True.
That's not being a failure. He's somebody that's respectful, that can talk about what he's talking about, and people will listen.
Of all the people that you can say where Drake says not everybody, you know, gets an opinion, that is so completely irrelevant to this case. Because if there's anybody in the musical conversational realm that's able to talk about hip hop, it would be Joe Budden.
Exactly.
Who has done this, who can rap better than Drake. Who has rapped better than Drake. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Who's dissed Drake in the past.
So, yeah, I mean, like...
And then retired.
It's just, you know, he pivoted and did something else, what it is. He's the most successful hip hop commentator out there right now.
Isn't it on the Joe Budden network? Does he own his podcast?
Yeah.
Isn't it on his own network? I'm confused about the number of people that, and I think some of it is just Drake stanism and just trolling, but I saw so many grown men trying to tell me that Joe Budden is a failure. I'm like, how? Everybody goes back to, man, he's all pumping up and we ain't hear nothing else.
That's a lie.
So, first of all, that's cap. Second of all, that's your justification for fam being the word failure?
Third of all, Pump It Up was more successful than anything anybody's saying.
Anybody
that's trying to say that Pump It Up wasn't a failure is still more successful than everybody that I've seen say that Pump It Up wasn't a failure. That was a failure. I feel like I completely butchered that statement.
I know what he's going on.
People will be like, yeah, you know, he's a one-hit wonder. Well, that's one more hit than you have.
Yeah, like,
you know what I'm saying? The average person who wants to criticize or all of a sudden jump out the window for Drake.
Yeah.
Like I said, Drake, if you got all these words for, like, you one who put out the lyric, I got so many checks, I'm Czechoslovakian, or whatever you said, like, come on, dog, that was terrible.
How about the line where he talks about he thinks he's bi because he likes one of the guys.
I was like, how are we going? We just going to let you get away with these suspect lines?
Yeah, we just
going
to let you slide with all of this stuff, man. That's wild. But back to Joe Budden.
Yeah, let's get back in there on that.
Because... you can't classify somebody that never disappeared into oblivion a failure for one.
Okay.
He came out, maybe you do think he had one hit, but he never fell off to the point where you didn't hear about him anymore.
True.
Like, he was able to use his musical success and get with Slaughterhouse, which was signed to Shady Records.
Right.
Yep.
Then he was on TV for the rap and hip hop soap opera shows.
Yep.
Then he moved on to his own podcast, and the podcast was crazy successful.
Still is.
And was able to get a better deal than he got before, which is like one of the best deals beyond
Rogan.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he's up there. Somebody that can move and shake in the podcast world like that and be relevant like that is not a failure to me.
If we keep it at a buck, Joe is one of the first artists to cross over into that and become like successful with it.
Yeah.
You know, Joe is one of the pioneers. If we look at how many people and artists have tried podcasts and failed or just stopped with it now or just quit.
Academics a bone by being on the show with him that kind of gave him more relevance.
Thank you. So the concept of failure, they're losing me with that.
Well, this is the personal anecdote. Mm-hmm. I just hate when people try to call other people failures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the Western ideology behind it because it's all rooted in capital a lot of times too.
Yeah, it is.
But it's just true. It's just like, who is somebody to say, like, okay, he's a failure, what, because he didn't make X amount of money? Is he happy? I don't know. Drake's crying on this entire album, and now he's taking some emotional time off. So what are we gauging this
off? He
needs
that time off.
I'm just saying, like, what are we gauging this? Is it just on how much money you make? If that's the case, well, man, all right, that's cool.
Then, and we just talked about Little Brother, because then Little Brother is a failure.
We already know the connection with them and Drake. True.
And if that's the case, well, I don't know. Drake stole his old style from Fonte, so there we are. I mean, early on, at least.
Oh, he's used a few
styles. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm going to get back to the record. Let me tell you something.
Let's talk about the record.
There's nothing to talk about. It sucks.
I was like, Drake did something like that nobody's been able to do all year, and that's make a song with Sexy Red that nobody wanted to play in the club this weekend. Mm. And honestly, even if they did, you take Sexy Red off the hook, that song is dead on arrival.
How you mess up a Sexy Red feature?
Yeah, so I'm just saying.
That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, we can talk about
it. Because she messes up everything, but.
I mean, he right, though, in terms of.
I'm talking about from when, you know, like I said, seeing culture move and shake in real time.
It sounded like it was recorded in a bathroom, too.
Yeah, it probably was. It was Sexy Red. But I'm just saying. That was unnecessary.
Was it recorded? Maybe it was recorded on her phone.
Oh my gosh, man. Brilliant.
At a Cardinals game in the bathroom.
Oh, the Cardinals aren't playing right now, so I'm just saying.
That's why she was able to do it.
Stop. Okay.
It is.
We take it away too far. No,
go,
we haven't.
Go ahead, man.
No, we're here to pod today.
Yeah.
All right?
Go ahead, get back to pod.
No, and I'm just saying, we keep making excuses for dude. You know what I'm saying? Even when he put out that dance, you know, album or whatever, people are like, oh, you just don't get it.
I don't want to get it.
You know, and if
there's nothing,
even
to
the song he put out with 21 Savage, like when usually they strike up a nice little chemistry, I'm like, this ain't it either.
Listen, like, you know what's crazy? So he put out his dance album at the same time that Beyonce put out her dance album. The Renaissance tour was just a huge hit.
True.
We don't even talk about that worldwide.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
True.
You don't even talk about that album anymore. He's had another one since then that it was better than that
one. Well, no, I mean, I enjoyed the record he did with 21.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was, if you were going to call something For the Dogs, you know,
it should have been
that's
that
what
one.
It would, you know, but when you start off this album
on a track called Virginia Beach. So I just knew he was about to have some bars for pushing
them
and Pharrell. Yeah. I thought he was about to go in and awaken the beast, but
because he's a 36 year old man and only sees to get off on talking bad about women.
What do y'all think about?
So he don't have no smoke for dudes, or he talks about how the rest of us are poor.
Yeah.
That's all he can really do is talk about women and talk about how the rest of us are poor. Those are his bars.
Make some good music. That'd be cool.
You hit on something I wanted to touch on when you talked about Drake's age. Remember when Joe Budden talked about the music that he's making and what the age group is for the records that he's making? Like, he's
35, 36.
And Joe Budden was kind of breaking him down, saying, you making music for these kids that are like, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, and you grown. Like, where's the evolution? He said he used to go at Cole for not doing that. Now he likes Cole because Cole has evolved and sounds like he's making grown music at the age that he's at. What do y'all think about that? Do you think
Cole is just thrashing everybody?
Yeah, exactly. So. Honestly,
What do you think about
that?
That
was a mistake for you to have Cole on that record with you. And the thing is, you probably had to sit with that verse and just realize there was nothing you could do. Because let that be me. I'd have accidentally erased that. I'm not going to have somebody doing that to me on my record.
Is there something wrong with Drake being a... I've always called him a pop star. Is there something wrong with him making his music for a super young demographic as a pop star?
No.
That's his thing.
No, that's what he does.
That's his thing.
Like, you know, like Taylor Swift... Even Beyonce, to a certain extent, is going to get out here and figure out what the wave is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she pulled it off and did a great job. It was a real...
Made a whole bunch of money off of it.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a real... Like, I didn't go to the Renaissance tour, but all the people... It seems like there are people who the rest of the year is going to be a letdown the way they talk about this show.
Am I wrong when I say there's a way to go about the wave and still be grown?
He's not one of those artists, though.
No, I'm just asking. I'm just throwing it out there because I heard Joe talking about
the age situation,
who he's making music
he's
for.
He's not
the core
one of those
fandom.
Artists, man. He's not going to address anything that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to spark any interest as far as nothing that anybody that watches news or
current
events or things like that. But I'm saying, generally when you talk about an artist that keeps on doing things, that gets out of... You know what I'm saying? The comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
They dibble and dabble in those type of areas and come back to what they're doing. Drake doesn't do that.
Drake is a pop star. He just makes pop music.
Drake is so popular in that lane of pop music that he has the luxury of not having to grow up.
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't do anything relevant.
His fans are going to keep standing for him regardless.
Yeah, because he's all his music is like a lifestyle. Like
What it is.
It's a vibe.
It's like people just, they try to escape through his music. Mm-hmm.
It's for all the cats that never really got girls, so they listen to Drake because they think riding up listening to Drake is going to get them some girls.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I should hope that's not anybody's strategy. But
I bet you it is.
I've actually heard grown men say men that don't listen to Drake are the ones that don't get the girls.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm married.
I mean,
I ain't gonna
sit there and say I don't listen to Drake, but I'm not one of them guys that just can't wait till Drake drops so I can, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not gonna make excuses for him.
Nah,
there's a lot of people y'all making excuses for him putting out this mid, and places where some of these records are just terrible. Yeah. Like the lyrics are not good. You know, he's in here just phoning it in, and he's trying. And the thing is, phoning it in, low effort music is what appeals to a certain demographic. So I get that, but for you to do it all the time. And for you to be as big as you are, where you can actually have the luxury of making a genuine artistic statement and you just on here phoning it in. Like, I'm sorry. Don't make excuses for this record. Take some time off, Drake. Actually think, like, because there was a time where I was like, oh, this Drake kid is about to be that guy.
His first couple albums.
Just think. I mean, we really talked about Kendrick, Cole, and Drake. And now...
And people still say the same thing. They still say those same three.
If we're putting 1, 2, 3, it is 1, 2, and a very distant 3 if you're talking about Drake. Because Drake
is talking
about
rapping,
there.
And we're talking about rapping, he's not even on the list.
As far as, like, remember we talked about the difference between artists and content creation?
He doesn't make rap records,
this
man.
This is content creation. This is barely even art.
He does.
Dang.
I was like,
I will say there is some artistic effort in there. Because his production is dope.
That ain't him, though.
Yeah, but he's not producing his records.
But, I mean, it has his name attached to it.
Maybe selecting him. It's not like he's all the way just pouring everything out like certain people. But
I agree with that.
But it's not terrible, but it's just so low effort. It's just like so low effort. And it's just, if he had records where he was actually rapping on, then I would feel okay talking about him on the show. But since he never raps and he just like la 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 la's, you know, the entire time, like, I don't care, man.
The thing about it is, too, is he actually used a review from, I want to say, Take Care, where people were saying this album isn't good, this, that, and the other. Take Care was pretty decent to me.
No, right. Take Care was more than decent.
Yeah, it was. If we're talking about a classic album, one of his classic albums.
Yeah.
And so he actually posted that in comparison to what people were saying about this one. But the thing about this one is, it just sounds so lazy, and it's just a repeat of everything that he's doing, man.
Take Care was different for its time.
Exactly.
And maybe, this isn't.
And now I'm not trying to shoot him any bail, but like, this makes a case for why you should not be trying to create on the road. you know, get yourself into a space where you're dedicated to actually.
Did he record this? Did he record a lot of this?
I mean, apparently.
I don't know. Odyssey writes a lot of his stuff on the road, and all his stuff is amazing. So I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well,
kind of depends, man. He just needs to get out of. Well, I can't even say it because it's not going to happen. We talk about this every time he drops an album. This is his pocket.
Yeah.
This is where he's going to stay. This is where he's comfortable at.
Yep.
So anytime you hear a Drake album, expect it to sound similar to this, around the same tones and vibes of that nature, because it's not going to change.
He does the same thing every time. It's like, okay.
It works
for
him.
It does. He gives you some. There's something on there. Be like, okay, this is going to bang.
Yeah.
Because once again, I listen to be critical so we can have discussions here. Mm-hmm. But I also listen to like, okay, what could we possibly break in the club? Do you just break up the monotony of what it is we have to do? And he does, like, he always gives me a couple.
Yeah, he's gonna give you a couple.
But then he gives me, like, you know, but then the rest of it is like, I'll never listen to any of this ever again.
But it always strikes me as very formulaic. Is I'm gonna make sure I get that one joint where I'm rapping, quote unquote. And then it's just,
yeah, but he fails at that. So
his first single was cool. The one with the video with the sun in it. I thought that was straight. That was the first one that I heard. I don't even know the name of it.
That was actually the second one.
Was that the second one?
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's the first one that I heard.
Yeah, that was a decent one.
And that one came out. I was like, all right, cool. Maybe he's going to be, you know, doing something on this.
That's his formula he follows. Every time before he drops an album, he drops a really good rap song before the album comes out. And it never follows the same pattern or feel of that rap song.
Most of those songs he blacks out on are called something in, and it's a city,
it's like
right?
A city or a time or something. Like, I can't.
8 a.m. in Charlotte was this one.
Yeah, that's that one, right? But which I liked.
I, you know what? When it comes down to just the recording process, it's probably just a lot easier to get on there and just sing a whole bunch of random stuff and have somebody capture it and then just turn it into a song than actually write something.
And knowing that it's going to be successful when you do it. Yeah.
He knows he can get on and go, ha-da-da-da-da, and then it's going to work.
Yeah, man.
I'm just saying. Whatever.
I know that joint will be, once it clears whatever the cycle, that joint will be number one on all of the
playing whatever. Streaming games, man. 23 tracks. It's not 20. Come on.
So far, it's been the J. Cole song has been number one. And just here recently, the one with him.
Yeah, because of J. Cole.
Him and
I didn't think that song was great.
What's that guy? Yeet. Him and Yeet is now number one. So it's going back and forth between the Yeet song and the J. Cole now.
Let's move on. I'm getting annoyed by Drake.
All right, well, I don't want my brother.
Don't drink and drive.
Yeah, I don't want my brother getting annoyed.
It's just like he put out an R&B album and we're talking about it on a hip-hop show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, I'm not mad at it. It's just like one of those things. It's like, of all the things, the fact that we have to talk about him is just annoying.
You know what's crazy? What you just said is a very fair assessment. It's damn near an R&B album.
It's not I mean, it is. He raps twice. Especially that second half.
Where it gets really bad.
Yeah. Again,
the first half, there's some things I can figure out. But
it's for all the dogs, man. It's for all the dogs.
Move on.
Which kind of dog, though?
Don't matter. What's next? Move on. Hard stop. Transition. Transition.
Shih Tzu.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J. Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, shout out to the... our partners, as always, appreciate it.
We're having a good time tonight. We just our thoughts. Just our thoughts on some things, you know.
I don't know. I wasn't enjoying myself during that Drake section.
Did you enjoy you didn't enjoy the
album. I saw it slowly just taking.
Well,
taking
you know,
over
when you didn't enjoy the album, you're not going to enjoy talking about the
way too much Drake, though. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I apologize for the.
Yeah, I mean, don't apologize.
No, to him.
I mean, but that's going to drive the algorithm.
I don't care, man.
You keep bringing it up, though. You keep bringing it back up. See? It's like saying Candyman.
It is. Like, that's three of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
He might pop.
Drake, show up.
Were you guys fans of the multicolored hairpins?
Oh, my God.
I give zero.
There's no way.
Did you curse? Did you just curse?
He did.
Hey, he's going to edit all this. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Who cares about him wearing berets in his hair? Berets or whatever you call them, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm cool on that.
I don't care, man.
I definitely don't want to talk about that.
All right, that's cool. All right, man. We've been talking about podcasters. Let's talk about the homie Wallow. Wow, now this is very random. He writes a letter to rap. I don't know if I agree with some of the statements in this here letter that he wrote, but I'll read some of this and see what you gentlemen think.
Okay.
So in his letter to the rap game, he says the landscape of the rap industry is undergoing a remarkable transformation, and it's becoming increasingly evident that today's fans have become more discerning and sophisticated in their tastes.
What?
Yet it's intriguing to observe that many artists' teams have yet to catch up with this evolving dynamic. The era of relying solely on flashy jewelry, ostentatious fashion choices, references to drugs, and flaunting firearms to capture attention is fading into obscurity. What truly resonates with audiences now is not the gimmicks, but rather the power of authentic, high-quality music.
What is he talking about?
Where has this brother been?
Prison.
Man, yeah, that's right. I literally just did the Westbrook face in my head.
What?
Because you remember Juicy J came out and talked about the, I think he said 40%. Yeah, and how rap is fading and trending downward and all that. But Wallo came in with this letter. Based off what I just read, there's no way he's been, can you not pay attention? Because I don't know what he's talking about here with the, especially high quality music, rather the power of authentic high quality music. Where is this being received, especially on the mainstream, or am I missing something?
Nah.
Look, one of the most high quality rap release I've heard, not just this year, but in years, is the Killer Mike. And that is not setting the Billboard or whatever on fire.
Right.
But we can't use that as a metric. Because once again, Killer Mike is an artist. Right. He's not a content creator. Just like we've talked about before.
I mean, but he says for a significant period, it seemed like attention grabbing antics and manufactured controversies were the driving force behind the rap game's success.
Still is.
However, this era is gradually drawing to a close. The numbers, particularly those on platforms like YouTube and Spotify, Apple charts, are painting a starkly different picture. They reveal that it's not the manufactured motion or shock value that propels artists to the forefront, but the quality of their music and the genuine connection they establish with their listeners.
I'm back to differ.
That is absolutely false.
Yeah.
Bro,
unequivocally false.
We're in the era of Sexy Red.
I must be tripping because
Sukiyama.
And before that, it was Old Town Road guy.
And a whole bunch of people in between.
Yeah.
You know, sure, there are always going to be niche hip hop fans that, you know, definitely want that, and they're not going to pay attention to it. But we can go no farther than the numbers of our own show, depending on what segment we talk about and clip we talk about, to show that that is absolutely not true. Like, sure, I would say, better listenership from the segments where we do deep dives into this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, the quality of the listen of is definitely higher. But if we're talking about sheer numbers and the amount of people that we grab whenever we kind of talk about something that kind of falls in this other category that he's talking about, those numbers are supremely higher, and it's not even close.
Look, when we talk,
I can't believe he wrote this.
When I look at the numbers of what the segment did when we just talked about the Megan and Tory thing,
yeah,
and you compared to when we talked about Killer Mike,
or Little Brother ever, or anybody underground,
it's not even close.
Ever. Like, yeah,
not even close.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about, man.
Like, I was more interested, you know, when I saw the thing with Juicy J, when he said, oh, the numbers are down 40%. Like, okay.
That's why the numbers are down, because the quality isn't there.
The quality's not there. People aren't even, they're like, they're doing one take and being like, all right, next. It doesn't matter. We just got to get these numbers up so we can put out these verses and get our streaming together.
So why is this? My question is also, this is starting to pop up. Ebro was talking about, y'all get ready for a shift. Remember, we were talking about the Afro beats. Right.
But at the same time, you see Burner Boy's record with the numbers?
I did not see.
Well, it didn't set the world on fire. Like, it's just crazy because the numbers didn't set the world on fire, but like, he can sell out a stadium.
Yeah, he can.
So there's a disconnect from even what people are streaming to what people will pay money to go see.
Yeah.
I'm just tripping on this analysis because, like I said, it has to be something.
He's getting cosigns in there. Like, Problem is in there cosigning him, saying that he agrees. Ebro is saying the same thing.
They agreeing with Wallo?
Yeah, they're clapping their hands. D1 Music is saying the same one. And these are all... I'm sorry. I don't see it.
Maybe it's on their side, maybe, but as far as quality, I'm not seeing that.
Look, I'm an old
man. There's no way.
That's still in the club.
And I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Thank you.
You know, and like I said, like, shout out to Wallo and Ebro, but at 1:30 in the morning on Saturday morning, they're probably at home asleep.
like which where I should be if I wasn't getting money.
I heard that.
I usually agree with Wallow.
Well, me too. Shouts to Overwhelming Slice in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Said, I think he's speaking to the fact that rap is losing popularity.
Yeah.
Well, is that because the quality is not good?
Or it's like people are willing to buy into the visual and the social media aspect. Like, I don't, is anybody like, okay, Ice Spice, it works on a certain level. And like, okay, she got a Dunkin' Donuts deal. Good for her. I'm glad to see people come up like that. But is anybody like really like, man, can't wait for that Ice Spice album to drop?
But how am I supposed to?
You know what I'm saying? Not like, think about when we, you know, it didn't matter when I remember going to, once again, I'm a new old head, so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take you back. I remember going to the record store every week, like, y'all got that Snoop Dogg album? Y'all got Doggy Style? They'd be like, try again next week, because this is when things were a lot more, you know, just fluid as far as when you might actually get an album. You know, like all these people who are out now, nobody's like, oh, I can't wait for that album to hit. Yo, yeah. When that album is going to be a problem. No, right. It's not
because
what it
the
is
album
now.
Never is a problem. It's always a couple songs.
Yeah.
And I think the one of the problems is people need to actually get back to manufacturing whole albums. Like put together a body of work that somebody can really sit down and enjoy versus putting out a song or two that may get popular or heard on the radio or somebody may make a TikTok dance out of it. If people would focus on the artistry of actually making this music right and making it sound good and quality control, then things would probably be different.
But you can maintain your fame right now by not putting out an entire body of work. Once again, we talked about Cardi B before. She hasn't put out an album in 5 years, but her fame hasn't waned, despite the fact that like that song that she put out with Megan Thee Stallion was dead on arrival.
Yeah, I here's the interesting thing about the statement is I agree with what he's saying about the landscape changing and the way that it's not the same as it used to be as far as the types of gimmicks, but as far as gimmicks are concerned, gimmicks are still super huge. It's just kind of changed and it's all based around, it just happens really fast now, and I think the gimmicks are changing is all.
It's content creation and social media.
Yeah, I mean, but the gimmicks are still there. They're still super prevalent, you know, and I wish it wasn't the case, but I don't know. I don't think this is true at all.
As I read it, sometimes you read things, context is important. I'm trying to make sure I'm not missing something because
stuff he's saying is true.
No, I'm not. I feel you, but what I'm saying is as I read this, it's not that hard for me to, I don't think I'm missing anything. What he's saying, I just don't agree. Like the two paragraphs that I read, I don't agree with. I don't see it. I just don't see
people gravitating to high quality music.
Yeah, like where is that happening at? Is that something we missing?
I mean, I think people always gravitate towards music they enjoy, and I think there's always people. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're always We've been critical of this stuff since episode one. You know what I mean? But, you know, we just talked about Drake numbers. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a good project. And people are right there behind it in a different type of gimmick. You know what I mean? Like, he's doing a gimmick in a way. Now, granted, he's not doing rap music, but
that's what they call it.
You know what I mean? But he said, in this transformed landscape, the practice of paying for a feature for a more established artist is no longer guaranteed success. True. That hasn't been a thing for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, it's increasingly apparent that each artist has their own unique impact and success is often built on the individual merit rather than collaborations around. That's true.
I like that.
This shift underscores the importance of hoping one's craft producing compelling and resonant music and cultivating a genuine fan base. None of that is not true, but none of that also does not mean that at the same time you can't garner a real fan base outside of music. Like people are becoming popular outside of music.
Mm-hmm.
And then also doing music. And those are the people that are popular right now. It's not, you know, the people that are like, it is different, but it's like we have, like you said, it's content creators. We have content creators that are becoming famous and then they also do music too.
I just don't see it.
Yeah, he's just wrong. He's just wrong on this.
He might be wrong.
I think he's wrong. I know there's a lot of people that are agreeing with him and I agree with a lot of the sentiments, but in general, I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay attention to this stuff.
I would love to. Like you said, I would love to, but I gotta.
I wish I saw.
It'd be a big
this,
no for
yeah,
me.
I wish I saw all this.
Respectfully.
High quality hip hop that's coming through, but I some of the stuff is barely even mixed correctly. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Some of these people I can just tell, okay, it's like, okay, one take, let's move on. Because we got to do 25 songs so we can get our streaming numbers together. No, this is not the era of high quality music.
Your boy Ice-T, I don't know if you saw that, but he was being interviewed and he talked about full albums. And, you know, Terry was talking about how there were stories and certain concept albums and reading liner notes and going going through all that. And he said he doesn't think that's going to return anytime soon because everything is so microwaved. And he said, he talked about how personal, we've talked about this before, how personal you can get with records and how they were set up. So, you know, we talk about high quality music. Yeah, if I was seeing a lot more of that, then maybe I'd be like, yeah, Wallo, you onto something. But everything is still microwave to me. Instant music, 30 seconds, and we on to the next one, you know? So,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe his, yeah, I mean, I'll just close out and say, I think in general, a lot of what he's saying is true in this statement. But I don't believe it's, I don't think it's moving in a way that's like necessarily positive, if that makes sense. I think it's just doing more of the same in a different way.
Shout to Wallo. He's had some great things to say, especially when he's trying to give some game to dudes about the street life and how to navigate away from that and create something better for yourself. But right here, I just don't feel him on this. If he could point me directly to where all this high quality
music
is,
I would love to see it.
One thing, but honestly,
but that's not really what he's saying, is it?
Yeah, that's what it sounded.
That's what it sounded like to me for some of it.
He says, "Yeah, what truly resonates with the audience now is not the gimmicks, but rather the power of authentic, high quality music."
The only thing that resonates with people is gimmicks.
Yeah, it's just gimmicks. It's gimmicks that you can consume in 15 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think? All this TikTok. These are all gimmicks.
Yeah, it's all gimmicks.
So yeah, whatever.
Hey, man, microwave generation, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, we have short clips that we drop every week. Those are gimmicks.
Yeah.
I mean, not really, but I mean, it's just a way to hopefully get you interested so you come check out our full content where we talk about this. You know what I mean?
There you go.
So check this out. This made me feel extremely old.
Check it.
But I think this is one of the most powerful projects ever dropped at ATL. I'm Serious by T.I. So this joint, I believe, is 22, just turned 22.
This is 21 in your thing.
Yeah, is it 21? I could have messed it up. It was October 9th, 2021. You know, we always go Outkast. We go Goody Mob. We go, you know, a lot of the OGs in the South. But I remember this album, first of all, it was dope. I remember some of the singles, but the production, when he had Toon, he had the Neptunes, Jazzy Faye. I think Toop did the majority of it, as I'm looking at it here. But I remember this album ringing off. I ain't even like T.I. like that.
Trap
music came out after this. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, trap music was the one that.
But I remember putting on the map. I remember listening to this though, because somehow I got this. Now how, I don't know. But I remember getting this project because trap music would be the following year.
Yeah, that was the second one.
Yeah, because this was I'm Serious was on LaFace.
Yeah, was it LaFace?
And he tried to go in and ask for more money. They'd be like, "You saw that album didn't sell nothing." Yeah, right?
Man, I remember the joint. What's your name? I had Pharrell on it. I think Too Short was on there. Beanie Man, he must have had a budget.
Yeah, that was because the first single had Beanie Man on it.
That was more like an underground classic.
So y'all would go trap music by far.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Over I'm Serious. I know some people that love I'm Serious.
Nah, I'm not saying that anything is wrong with I'm Serious. But as far as being a success,
it's way more successful. Yeah, yeah.
Trap music is the one that pretty much did it for him.
Yeah, that had Rubber Band Man.
I was trying to compare them. Yeah.
Everything was on there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm Serious.
He kind of even switched his image a little bit between I'm Serious and trap music.
We just talked about remembering and not remembering before I start messing up. Y'all might be right.
Yeah, that's why I didn't vote for this.
Because I forgot about the singles.
I'll just be honest. I don't listen to T.I. Yeah. So
hey, I'm Serious.
I don't know really any of it except
I'm
for a
Serious
couple records.
Might have had one single.
With Beanie Man.
That was
Y'all
it.
Are right. Y'all are
that
right.
He shot one video. That was it.
Yeah. So trap music is the one.
So it's like, how important is this to the ATL South?
It's really not.
Feel like we need somebody from Atlanta or the South on here to actually talk
maybe
about that.
I thought that mug was bubbling underground more than the.
No, it was.
I'm not saying it's the marquee album. I'm saying maybe I'm thinking that album was bubbling more in the underground than it was.
If we're talking about Atlanta albums, that's not one of them.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
There's Gucci Mane.
Welcome to the Trap House.
Was that mixtape? No, that's the album.
Jeezy's first album.
Yep.
Thug Motivation
101.
Yep.
T.I. Trap Music.
Yep.
Of course, Outkast, whatever they drop.
Yep.
But I think
Lil Jon and them.
But I think those three that you took it to the next level in the 2000s, you know, because it was almost like, okay, we got Outkast, we got Goody Mob. They held it down from 94 until, but they were like Gucci
the next
Mane's,
wave.
Yeah, they were like that next wave.
You know what?
That really took Atlanta to the championship.
I got these records confused because I'm looking at the track list on trap music. I was thinking doing my job was my joint. I was thinking that was on I'm Serious.
Yeah.
But all of these records that you guys are talking about, yes. Yeah, yes. Man. Yes.
Your trap music going off.
Wow, man. Because I do remember having I'm Serious, but to y'all point about it being the one, quote unquote, yeah, I can't.
You're like, see, the thing with I'm Serious, that was an album that they were pretty much manufacturing.
Yep.
To have all the sounds that were popular at the time. So you
yes.
had production from Pharrell,
Toomp,
you yep. know what I'm saying? They were following that formula.
Because honestly, I remember hearing it, and I'm like, what is Beanie Man even doing?
That's yeah, right, right. Because exactly. he had the budget.
He was hot. Well, yeah. Beanie Man was hot.
That's
at
right.
the time.
He had Girls Dip Sugar with Maya.
Yep. yep.
So
yep.
when trap music came out, T.I. did him. It was more so, this is me, this is really who I am. And that's the one that was a better album.
Production too, because he leveled up. It went to Ye and let's see, Kanye, still more tuned.
David Banner
had the single for Rubber Band Man, that they recorded it like behind something. I can't remember.
I think David Banner said he was homeless when they recorded that song.
Pulled up in the van.
Yep.
Huh. Well.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were mistaken on that one, good sir.
Because I got some of the records confused. I did, because I remember I'm Serious bubbling, but that was that early tip, the forced, yeah. like you said, the forced. Yeah,
I remember him visiting the basement
yep.
when I'm Serious came out, and he had a gold toothpick.
Yep.
By the time trap music came out, he was wearing his hat all the way off his head, mm-hmm. and the toothpick disappeared because he gifted Tigger one of the gold toothpicks.
No.
Dang, how you remember that?
I just got a mind full of useless information.
So here's something. Apparently, West Side Gunn has said in a recent interview with Rolling Stone that he's not going to be putting out any more studio albums. West Side says, making a studio album, I'm done with all that. It's back to dumping until I don't want to dump no more. I'm going to have fun now. It's no more pressure. This album was pressure to me. So
what is dumping?
I think just dumping songs off. So I think he's done making studio albums, like the official, the whole thing, but he's probably still going to put music
out. Mixtapes.
Yeah. So let's say style. If this is his last project, how do we look at West Side Gunn's catalog? Because he considers himself, you know, one of the elites, got a legendary catalog. I can pull it up.
He does.
As a solo artist?
He absolutely does. He's just, when you put him in comparison as just strictly an MC and a rapper next to Benny and Conway, he's number three. This is what it is.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's not good.
But he's not a distant three.
No.
I mean, based on the album.
I'm going to say distant.
No, based on how.
No, I'm talking about as a rapper.
Okay.
If we're talking about as a rapper, but if we're talking about just albums that he's put out.
I'm talking about the projects.
No, if we're talking about projects, he's right up there if he's not first, because he knows how to put a really good project out.
That's true.
Of all the Griselda records, what's better than Pray for Paris?
I like Tana Talk 3.
You know? Okay, I was going to say Tana Talk. Yeah, I was going
to
say
Benny's first commercial release was really good to me.
Yeah, they don't really miss super heavy. You know, like they're pretty consistent across the board.
Boom, 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 boom.
Even his mixtape stuff.
He got now the mixtape catalog.
Like, I've never heard a West Side Gunn song and been like,
oh, yeah,
oh man, he's Drakin'. You know what I mean? Like, he's not taking anything off. He's still doing stuff. He's not doing Currency type stuff either, where Currency seems like he takes records off sometimes. So
I like it.
No, yeah. I mean, just that's one of the things I like about West Side, is he has such a cohesive sound. It's not like all of a sudden he's like, okay, let me get one off of the West Coast. Let me get the girl song. Nah. Let me do something for the South. Let me go ahead and do it. It's if you get when you listen to West Side Gunn, you're
it's
listening
authentic.
To a West Side Gunn album. He is not trying to yes. play those games.
Long, you said you made a good point. You said just because he's not, quote unquote, the best rapper or the best lyricist, doesn't mean that he can't curate dope projects.
Nipsey Hussle is not the best rapper in the world, but Victory Lap is almost flawless.
Jesus.
You know what I mean?
Man.
You know, you don't have to be the super greatest intricate rapper to put out a great project. You just have to be good and know how to put, you know, a project and a song together in a good way. You know what I mean? Anyways.
Shout out to dude popping out.
NLE Choppa sued by Rodney O over Who TF Up In My Trap. 21 Savage will perform in London for the first time ever at Homecoming Show.
Chef Rodney O.
Everlasting bass. God.
Okay.
Maya Jama. And Stormy's our IG official rapper picks Love Island host up at the airport.
What is that?
J-Moore, you said, oh, what is that?
No, I don't know who these people are.
Oh, okay.
Jada Pinkett Smith reflects on dealing with bouts of depression. and drops a next new book next week.
Oh, of course. It's a rollout.
Yeah. Will Ferrell plays Kanye West and Jay-Z while DJing a frat party. I
that
did
was
see
funny
that.
Watching that.
Will Ferrell looked like he was really concentrating.
Yeah. Oh, was this video this?
He was
oh,
just
yeah.
like...
All right, I got to hit this button at the right time. Yeah.
Oh, for real? Yeah, I didn't know they had... Okay, I'm going to have to watch that.
I think I saw Snoop share it.
It was at whose frat party?
His son's
frat party?
USC.
Alpha oh. Mu. Same at Alpha Mu. Jennifer Hudson and Renee Rapp team up to cover Beyonce hit. Ooh.
Yeah, don't do that.
They Travis did pretty Kelce. Good.
Jennifer Hudson sang. Don't do
they
that,
did Dangerously in Love.
Don't
was,
do that.
It was good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Halle Berry reflects on filming The Color Purple.
Oh, Halle Bailey.
Oh, thank you. Halle Bailey reflects on... Wait, Halle Bailey was on the...
No, there's a new one coming out in Christmas.
I was like, wow.
Or at Christmas.
Man, she ages really well.
Oh, my God.
She's Benjamin Button out here.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not trying to be funny, but Black America, we don't need it. We don't need to revisit The Color Purple. We got enough for our own.
So right they've now. Actually...
the set was like going to a cookout.
It. They redid it to where it doesn't end the same way either.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, no, it's not. I'll take that.
I don't know.
The previews that I've seen of it actually look pretty decent.
Okay.
Bad Bunny reveals new album. This is going to be a new segment that we have to do every week.
I love it. I love
find
it.
Out what we actually care about.
Yeah, yeah.
What do the
new old heads care about? Bad Bunny reveals new album title and release date.
Yeah, I don't care.
Called Unpreview.
It's going
to
say.
Birdman said that Bad Bunny was signed to Drake.
What?
That's what he said.
That's a smart man then.
Okay, Playboy.
If it's true.
Yeah, whatever. It's probably
okay,
not,
Playboy.
Probably
not
T.I. receives Fashion Icon Award during Atlanta Fashion Week.
Atlanta Fashion Week.
Oh, that's neat.
At least it's on brand.
Yeah. All right.
Toni Braxton celebrates her birthday with near nude photos.
All right. Let's see them.
All right, let's put for
Wait, man, don't disrespect
Toni Braxton.
Yeah, it was going wrong. Like 25 years ago, I'd have been into that. But
you get the opportunity right now. You be
here. Here go.
See what you're talking about.
No, I mean, because you know, because now I'm of an age where I like old women.
That's 150.
You want a little seasoning on your
fries. So, you know, I mean, because you know. Thing is, when you out and about, you know, you see
this
how
isn't
these,
a near nude. I mean, I guess kind of.
Not really.
No, it's not, man. That's
she's wearing an entire curtain, like you know.
That's cap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that was just clickbait.
No, yeah. You. Yeah.
She's,
and we
she's looking
on.
All right, though. She's looking.
No,
good.
She looks great. She looks great.
The same energy, Jay Moore.
No,
don't do that.
Because I look, because you know, I look at. So, look, I follow the Nicole Murphys of the world. I follow these seasoned women because that's what I like. You know, these young girls that you know. Let me tell you something. These young girls are so ugly out here these days.
Ugly.
You know what I'm saying? They all look like they eat hot Cheetos for breakfast. And,
wow.
And, diet is messed up. pH yeah, balance
they,
ain't right.
They think Casamigos is a food group. Young girls is out here doing bad.
What else they eat with the hot Cheetos in the morning?
I mean, probably not much else. No,
yeah, fried
no,
pickles.
No
yeah.
fruits, no vegetables, no, you know, no water. Like, young lady, start drinking more water.
Drink water.
They're just looking for lobsters and crabs.
Mixed with Cheetos.
Yeah.
All right. Plies can't stop thirsting over Britney Spears.
That's pretty funny. Do y'all be
look
watching
how
those videos?
At me.
Look how she's looking at me.
Yeah. First of all, Plies is hilarious. I haven't watched him in a long time.
What he be calling
Plies
her? What he be calling Britney, man? That stuff be funny to me.
Plies is hilarious. Now, I don't know about this, but he's...
I don't know what he called. My Little Purple Rain.
Yeah, he switched it up. He called her something else too.
He said, "Plies caption: I've been watching this since the last night. My Little Purple Rain. Look how she looking at me. Look how she looking at me.
That's a decent little Plies.
Don't nobody bother me today. Okay."
Yeah, he been on Britney for a minute now. He'd be like, "Look at Brit."
Let's see. J Rock shares new freestyle over Jay-Z instrumental. I did listen to that. It was good.
Okay.
Always fool with J Rock.
Yep. Birdman and Rick Ross have a relationship.
Or have no relationship.
Yeah, I know. I was just trying to fabricate it. Yeah. They have no relationship. Former confirms there's no drama.
Okay, next.
Yeah. LeBron James reflects on Rich Paul's success amid 60 Minutes. Who cares?
Shout out to Rich Paul.
I did watch that 60 Minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a rollout.
Yeah, because for his
LeBron
book.
James dropping an album.
I hope not.
Doja Cat, Paint the Town Red tops 100 for a third week.
She also wore a suspect t-shirt.
I like that.
What was
on
the t-shirt? I heard about that. Yeah.
That was
some foolishness.
Is it still, is it some stuff about her showing feet?
It's similar.
It's along that same line.
Once we try
the
to
racist chat room type thing.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out real quick as you go down your list to Jermaine Dupri. He got a martyr bus rapping.
What the hell is a martyr bus?
Martyr, that's the public bus down in Atlanta. They got his face on the side of the whole bus, public transportation.
Oh, yeah. Like a mural?
They have him wrapped on the bus that's driving around the city.
Oh, okay. He said martyr bus?
MARTA.
It sounds like he said
transportation
martyr,
system.
But yeah, MARTA.
MARTA bus.
Like how ours is Metro.
Metro, yeah. Got you. Okay.
Or Indigo now.
Indigo, yeah.
Yeah, well-deserved, man. JD, a whole legend down there. So shout out to him.
Britney Spears fans think she hurt herself in another new Instagram post.
Was the knives involved?
Oh, that was that one, wasn't it?
Probably.
That was like only 2 days ago, though. Chloe Bailey's hot bikini posts aren't over just because summer is.
All right.
Next.
Yeah. I wish her music was as good as her pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, she makes music? I didn't know that. KSI reveals insanely expensive mouth guard ahead of what?
What?
Tyson Fury fight.
Sports got mixed in with music headlines here.
Oh, maybe they just.
I think I'm in the wrong place. Whatever.
Oh.
YNW Melly and YNW Bortland Witness. Yeah, Bortland.
That's what it says.
YNW Bortland Witness Tampering.
He's a boy, man.
What's his name? So his name is YNW Bortland Witness Tampering.
Wow.
Or is his name YNW Bortland?
It's YNW Bortland. Yeah, they don't put commas in these headlines.
So okay, YNW Melly and YNW Bortland.
Why is his name Bortland?
Bortland Witness Tampering charges get new details.
That's wild.
Okay.
His mama named him Bortland.
Bortland, huh?
That's YNG.
Cameron compares relationship with Just Blaze to Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, that Marshawn Lynch conversation was dope.
Yeah. Hilarious, man.
My question is who's Marshawn and who's Russell?
Cameron probably fancies himself to be Marshawn, yeah, and Just Blaze is Russell Wilson.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
I would say so.
Kanye West and Julia Fox's relationship included boob job offers.
What?
When Fox first crossed paths with Ye, she felt as though she could open so many doors for her. Who cares?
Who's Julia Fox?
That's his wife, I think. That's the other one.
Uncut Gems, wasn't she?
Oh, that was the other. That was the chick. One for the.
Yeah. She wasn't even cute.
Yeah. Method Man shares wild shroom story with Tupac, Diddy, and more. And he also said that he used to buy wet from Big L.
Yeah, Cameron. No, not Cameron. Method Man. Yeah,
he was on Drink Champs, I think.
Okay.
Talking about The Wire that Mike is still yet to start.
Something wrong with your internet at the crib.
Man, we were on an 8-9 hour trip on the road.
Did you drive?
Not all of it.
So you had enough time to watch a couple episodes?
Yeah.
He could have watched an entire season.
Dang.
I'm just saying.
What type of stuff is that, man?
You know, shouts to DiCarlo.
Are you scared of it?
DiCarlo hasn't seen it either. I was
what?
I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
What is up with y'all cats, man?
Yeah, but DiCarlo's not here, so we're going to talk about you.
I know it.
That's mad wild to me.
And this fool actually says, you know, you could be watching The Wire right now.
I did say that on
the
trip.
And you didn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't pull it up. I didn't know what it was. I didn't have access to any streaming on my phone.
You got unlimited plan?
Yeah.
So you couldn't have just put the Max app on your phone?
I don't got the Max app on my phone.
Man, it's almost like you know somebody that has the Max app.
Yeah. I'm Mike. But
it might have been sitting right next to you.
Yeah, I mean, I have it on my phone.
Y'all see the one where
mine too.
Y'all see the one where Cameron was clowning. He says he clowns Just Blaze over while revealing Jay-Z was mad over Old Boy. I guess it was some samples.
This has got to be a new segment. We got to do this every week.
I love you read these, bro.
We got to do this every week for like 10 minutes.
This is almost like the... what's his name? David Letterman, when he used to read off them cards.
Oh, yeah.
When people used to send in the topics or something.
Hmm. I think we
might have found something.
I love hearing you read these. This is like reading the producer list. Oh, it's not like
Halle Berry.
Halle Berry. Man,
she looks great.
And her eyes are more wide. I don't know what's going on.
What were we doing when you were reading? Oh, we were going through the Wikipedia pages.
No, he was
reading production credits and features and stuff.
It would be N words, don't F with me. It would just be.
Oh, wait. Hold up here. Azealia Banks claps back at Drake after Joe Budden comments.
Oh, my
What's
God.
What's she say?
Nobody cares.
Yeah,
Kanye West and Sun Saint hit up soccer game in Italy. Bianca Sensori? Not spotted.
Ooh. Okay.
Ooh.
Man, that's some news.
With your significant other.
Oh, man, that's some news. Stephen A. Smith hilariously trolls the Cowboys after why is it? Oh, sports, sorry. 50 Cent.
Oh. Cents, huh?
50 Cent displays Diddy lawyer up and insinuates alleged involvement in Tupac's...
Yeah, because Keefe D was... there's an interview where Keefy D is asking Diddy for money.
Like, bet you I know what platform that was on.
One of those platforms.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
It's Art of Dialogue.
Was it Art on that one? Okay. Well, you know who I thought it was. He already told on himself for like 2 or 3 years ago on the other one. So the Art of Dialogue just added on top of what he had already said, if we being honest.
Birdman says, Birdman reacts to Kanye West labeling Cardi B an industry plant.
What'd he say?
He pretty much didn't say anything. He just said he don't...
I can't actually see anything.
Yeah, he pretty much just said that he doesn't throw people under the bus, so to speak.
Mm. As he threatens Joe Budden. Got it.
As who threatens Joe Budden? Birdman?
Yeah, he definitely was telling you can't F with the GOAT or something to
that. Ain't no way he think that Drake is the GOAT.
He probably does. Yeah.
Well, that concludes reading the news clips.
Thank you, Long.
Yep.
Appreciate you in your segment there, sir.
For reading
the news clips.
Maybe we'll come up. We need like background music for this. Could be like a really funny segment.
100%.
Like, it could be like every week we do it for like 5 to 10 minutes or something.
And just go through
with like a music playing in the background or something.
Yeah, we need some music.
We can do that. I think we can do that. We can probably pull it up on the screen too, like what we're scrolling through.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's like news in 60 seconds or whatever. You want to call it that?
Trash hip hop news.
Yeah. Hey.
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 There it is.
There's some trash hip hop news.
All right.
Boo boo.
I need to put that
around
on the board.
Would take us over the top is trash hip hop news.
All right.
I know, right? Shout out to the chat if you're still in there. We appreciate you as always. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe, sign up, share. Don't forget the Patreon as well. We appreciate the support as always, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
Peace.